Download it for your listening pleasure. This is the Tim and Jess podcast.
Tim, yesterday we had a very relaxing day, so much so that we came onto this show yesterday afternoon and it was a very chilled show.
It was too chilled. Salt Air Spa, because we're giving away so many vouchers at the moment, they were like, look, come down, experience one for yourself. You and I have never had it before, so we were wrapped.
It was gorgeous.
I never actually complained about this during the show yesterday because it did seem like a little bit silly because we got the relaxation one and like the oils they use.
It's gorgeous.
My hands got a little bit oily because I was like scratching my arms and stuff where all the massage oil was. And my hands were slipping off the buttons during the show.
I was like, you are so brave.
I know. Just kept missing and it was just what? So the fact that we got through it, the whole show yesterday, pat on the backs to us.
I got home and, you know, pretty much my house has been very relaxing since I finished up my course with the Gordon.
Yeah, you have been studying for the last six months.
I'm on school holidays, you know.
This is your schoolies.
And so I was chilling out. My husband made some dinner and I was like, you know what? I need to go to the bathroom. I'm gonna pop into the ensuite. And I sat down and my cat Penny came and sat at my feet, which is odd for her. Usually if she comes to sit with me while I'm on the toilet, because sometimes she protects me, she'll either sit at the door or she'll sit up on the sink. And so I was like, why is she at my feet? And she's kind of like batting at my feet. So I'm kicking her. I'm like, come on, get. Not like actually kicking her, just like shooing her away.
I'm not a cat owner, but that seems like a no-no in the manual.
Well, you know, I'm trying to get my business done and I'm giving her a gentle nudge, like, come on, get away from me. And I feel something on my foot. And I was like, was that Penny? I'm looking around, can't see anything. And I look behind the toilet bowl and I realize why Penny's at my feet. It's not for me. She's not there for my protection. She's playing with the giant spider that's hanging out behind the door and has just run across my feet.
Just try and get to the spider.
I have never jumped off the toilet so fast.
Please don't tell me you were mid-Macarena, if you know what I mean.
I was mid-Macarena, Tim. I was mid-Macarena.
Like Macarena number one or Macarena number two?
Thankfully, number two hadn't started. Just the number one. This spider was huge. To the point where, like, I call for my husband whenever I see a spider. Big or small, he's my little knight in shining armor.
Well, I'm surprised, because you've spoken about this on the show in the past, I'm surprised he wasn't already in there with you, because sometimes you'll force him to come to the bathroom with you while you're going number two.
I do not. I yelled out, Akshay, quick, there's a spider. So he takes his time because he thinks there's a tiny little daddy long leg like it usually is. This thing was huge.
Huntsman?
Right? Yeah. And so he...
Harmless.
Don't like
cannot
it.
Cannot hurt you. Harmless.
He walked in and went, Jesus, oh my God. I was like, I told you. And he's like, you always yell when there's a spider. Like, how was I to know it was going to be a big one? So I go and grab like one of my pair of thongs and I was like,
you're not wearing pants at this point.
Nope.
Still you are, yeah.
Yep, I'm about to shower, so I'm completely nude. I was so defenseless, Tim.
I'll be honest, being naked around a spider is not the best case.
So I'm like completely nude, holding a thong going, Akshay, kill it. Kill it now.
What a glimpse into his future.
He was like,
and his present.
He said to me, that thing's huge. I can't kill it with a thong. Like, I'll get too close to it. It's going to jump at me.
Oh, so he
starts getting scared. I was like, you're supposed to be the strong one. My relaxation out the window at this point. I'm furious.
You're furious?
At the spider for crawling along my feet.
Existing?
I was trying to just relax on the toilet. Anyway, eventually we managed to get him out. Penny was thrilled because she got something to play with, and I need another relaxation massage, please.
I was going to say, you could have talked about this without bringing up the fact that you had a paid-for massage that afternoon. I think people might have had some sympathy for you,
yeah.
But there's nothing coming through. Where the weather is here in the studio. It's like currently it's 20 degrees and we also have a sympathy radar and it is sitting in the negative 10s right now. I don't know if you can see 20 degrees in Torquay and negative 10 in the studio for people who give 2.5 hoots about that.
Fair enough.
So, but so glad you made it out.
I know. I'm very brave.
And very naked.
This is Tim and Jess.
Tim, you know how much we love when a new milk comes out on the market and just like takes over?
I don't think it's what we're known for on the show. I wouldn't.
Over the last few years, cow's milk has really taken the back foot. We saw the rise of almond milk.
I guess you could say the back hoof.
You could say that. Yep.
Almond milk. Oh, but almond milk's been around for over a decade.
Right, yeah. And then oat milk really took hold, a stronghold. We saw camel's milk be introduced a couple of years ago.
I don't remember that.
That hasn't really risen in popularity. And there is a new milk that people are talking about.
Do you think that this milk, like just on a snap instinct food, because we have a lot of great cafes, a lot of coffee lovers across Geelong and the Surf Coast. Do you think we're going to see this pop up across town?
I feel like this one might be going in the same direction as the camels, Tim.
Oh, no. What are we talking about? What's the new milk?
Fish milk.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. Turns out Indonesia are considering using fish milk to compensate for the cow shortage for their country's free lunch program. So they've got a free lunch program for schools, which is an incredible initiative.
That's awesome.
But yeah, they're running low on the cows, which are needed for the cow's milk. And so there have been suggestions that a fresh fish milk might be used instead.
Can I ask maybe an obvious question here?
Please.
Where are they getting this milk from on the fish? I never been swimming in the ocean or at Melbourne Aquarium and think, man, look at the teats on that clownfish. Num, num, num. Finding Nemo, moo, moo. Mm. Milking Nemo. That's what I want to do.
I'm so glad you asked. Apparently, local fishermen are sending loads of pony fish twice a day to a factory where the pony fish are then deboned and ground into a fine white protein-filled powder. They then take that powder and mix it with a sugary flavor like a strawberry or a chocolate so that you can get a strawberry or chocolate fish milk.
That's terrifying. That's one, like, fishing, like, what we do to fish is so wild. It's so cooked. Who's out there thinking, how can we make this worse for the fish? You know what we'll do? We'll debone them, crush them into a powder, strawberry sprinkle, Bob's num, your num. Uncle, num num. Unbelievable.
So, look, not everyone's on board. The Indonesian health minister said that there are other ways to manage the cow shortage. He said we can grow more cows, we can import milk from Australia, or we can buy an Australian cow company or milk company before we start giving children milk from fish.
Sorry, did you say they can grow more cows?
That's what he said. That's a direct quote.
Does he know what milk is? Does he think this is a plant?
Yeah.
This is confusing.
Just grow more cows, obviously. So no to the fish milk, because, I mean, I could try and find us some to try if you want.
Oh, I think I'd...
What if?
No. Let me finish. It's a no.
No. Before you say no, how about I get some strawberry fish milk? And
some real strawberry milk.
A strawberry Big M.
Yeah, and I have to tell the difference.
And you see if you can tell the difference.
If you can, how are you gonna get the fish milk? Jess?
Maybe I'll make it.
I don't think you've got the guts to debone a pony fish, crush it into the epivethent of life.
Fish are like eggs for me. If it starts tasting too fishy or too eggy, I can't do it. Imagine like drinking that. Yuck.
I don't know what to say anymore.
Yeah. So, I'm going to stick to cow's milk.
Mate, you know I've been camel milk since the day I came out, so.
Jess and Tim. Oh, wait, sorry. It's Tim and Jess.
I've stumbled across something that I think will upset a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things where you go, all right, is it nice just living in a little ignorant world of bliss, not knowing something that might upset us? Or do we face the truth, we face the hard things in life, attack them as a team head on and try and get through it together?
I choose ignorant bliss. Thanks so much, Tim and Jess on K-Rock 95.
No, unfortunately, we will be going head first through this. What is your least favorite thing about eating Pringles?
Eating Pringles? Oh, getting your hand stuck in the tube?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you say that's pretty common feedback for people that enjoy Pringles?
Yes.
There is a reason why Pringle tubes are so narrow and our hands, most of them, don't fit it. Like, I've got very small hands.
You do. They're quite dainty.
And they don't even fit into a Pringles can.
I thought it was just like a cost-cutting thing. Like, it's cheaper.
Well, probably that is a part of it. But there's a two-part documentary on the BBC at the moment called Irresistible, Why We Can't Stop Eating And essentially, the
of course, once you pop, you can't stop.
This is someone who used to work for Pringles. Direct quote: "When I worked for Pringles, they were really worried about the competition from Doritos, and they were trying to think of ways to innovate. One idea was making the tube bigger so we can get a whole hand in there. And I said, no, 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 don't do that. People like struggling to have to get their hand in. They like foraging. They are like foraging bears. They're trying to extract the food. And that is what we think got us ahead of Doritos in that space. The challenge of getting it out, it's like, because you, when you get it, you feel a sense of success and reward because you got your little sticky treat. And they are intentionally making the cans and tubes too thin so that we are silly little bears trying to get honey out of a tree.
Who is this bloke? I'm going to go to his house because how dare you?
Yeah.
We could have had wider tubes. In some parallel universe, they've made wider Pringles tubes. And we're stuck in this universe, Tim.
Yeah, I know.
Isn't where that... they're too small for me hands.
And I understand. Oh, Lady Jessica, welcome to the show.
I'm back again.
And it's interesting seeing the marketing level. So he's like, this person's come out in the documentary and he's claiming this was my idea.
Right.
That, the tubes were smaller because we wanted to create that struggle. So when you do eventually get your treat, you feel a sense of achievement. It's incredible marketing. It is incredible marketing. It is so, like, do you understand why I'm saying, like, these are the truths that we need to,
yeah,
attack head on? It's not going to stop anyone from eating Pringles.
No, but it hurts my feelings.
Because we've already lost. We've already lost the battle. We already have the desire for the Pringles.
The next time I open a Pringles can, I'm only going to think of this man and get angry.
And that's consumerism. So just thought I'd break the news. If anything, it's an interesting thing to share the next time you see somebody eating Pringles. You can say, well, they've done this on purpose. They've done this on purpose. Tim and Jess said so. It was in a documentary. Because initially when you say, I heard it on Tim and Jess, you will lose credibility.
Yeah.
But then when you say they heard it on a documentary, we're back in the game.
Yes.
It's real news again.
Then it's a friend of a friend.
Oh, and that is how whispers start spreading across the world. We love it.
Tim and Jess, the podcast.
Tim, in America, they are gearing up towards their Thanksgiving Day celebrations, which is why we're having Black Friday, because usually it is a tradition from America that all these big Black Friday sales happen. So we have taken on that tradition, but not the Thanksgiving part.
Yeah.
Because Thanksgiving is basically in America, it's like their history of like the first people that came across. The Pilgrims in 1621.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So it's a long, long tradition. They give thanks, all of that. We saw on the TV yesterday.
I thought that there was a movie playing.
Yeah.
Turns out it was real life. This was like during the news yesterday on the show. Joe Biden, outgoing president of the United States, standing at a lectern.
Yep.
Sunglasses on, looks to the side. I'm like, what is going on here? This looks important. A massive turkey is up on a pedestal and he is patting this turkey and it just says, President pardons turkey. Now, I know prime ministers and presidents have the power to be able to pardon people for like crimes or things that have been against their name. What the hell?
Yeah. And I said to you, I haven't got time to tell you what's going on, but I've done my classic little deep dive.
Why is the President of the United States pardoning a turkey, Jess?
So glad you asked. So typically, a Thanksgiving meal in America involves a turkey.
I know that. Right? I've heard of that. I've seen it in films.
Right. So in the United States, in the White House, they have a ceremonial pardoning of the turkey. So they'll have a whole bunch of turkeys they bring into the White House.
These are huge, by the way.
Yeah. And Joe Biden will look at all the turkeys, or whoever the president is at the time, will look at all the turkeys and go, this one. We'll keep this one. He gets to the symbolic pardoning. It means the turkey's not eating for Thanksgiving dinner, but instead gets to live his life out on a farm.
That's barbaric.
Well, it actually dates back to Abraham Lincoln. You know that guy.
They do this every year?
Well, apparently in Abraham Lincoln in 1863 saved a turkey from being eaten because his son was like, you can't eat that turkey. He's my friend.
I gave it a name, Dad.
And so in honor of that, apparently lots of farmers and organizations have sent turkeys to the president for years and years
and years. It's like a, hey, we love you. Since our turkey.
The 1800s. And officially, the pardons began as a kind of tradition, a bit of a nod back to Abraham Lincoln, when the first president, George W. Bush, in 1989, started doing it as a ceremony every year. So he was like, hey, as a little nod to Abraham Lincoln, we're going to get a whole bunch of turkeys that people, the farmers have sent to us here at the White House, and I'm going to pick one that gets to go and live on the farm, not get eaten this year.
I'm going to press a button, Jess.
What?
I'm going to press a button, and this isn't to you. I can't stress that enough. We only press this button a couple of times a year, but technically you were the messenger of this.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Again, that's not for you.
You didn't have to use the dumb button. It's I put not, a lot of work into this.
No, I know, but I'm saying that about the tradition.
Sure.
Because it's very strange. I almost swore. Sure. It's very strange.
Yep.
I don't understand that. That is so bizarre. If there was, like, that's not happening. And, like, Australia's cooked. Like, that's my thing. Like, our prime ministers have eaten onions raw in the past.
Yeah.
Just for wearing no shoes during media junkets. Kevin Rudd looking at you. Playing handball. Kevin Rudd, again, looking at you. And this is one of the more strange things I've seen. I don't know how I've gone 31 years and never seen
the turkey pardoning.
That is so bizarre.
Yep. I mean, happy Thanksgiving to those here in Geelong Surf Coast that might celebrate.
We do have some USA expats. Yeah. I know there's lots across Geelong Surf Coast in the Burners. So no disrespect to you, just the people that founded
your country.
So, but thank you, Jess, for informing us.
You're welcome.
We appreciate the deep dive.
That concludes another thrilling edition of the Tim and Jess podcast.